I want to welcome those of you who are online. Do a quick shout out to a couple. Connor, I hear you're watching us online and your family. Hello, welcome. Also, David, I hear you're supposed to be online too, so hope you're here watching. There will be a test when I do see you, so I will know. Even if you're not live, you got a little time because I will follow up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So last week we started a series. It might end up being a series. It was part one. Today's going to be part two. So we'll see how far we get along. Dare I ask who did their homework? Anybody brave enough to say, yes, I did my homework? Oh, there's always one that says, I didn't know. There's always one. There's always two. I didn't know. That also means he didn't watch the video during the week. Yeah, gotcha, because I did give homework on the series. All right, so only a few. All right, well, that just tells me what all we got to cover. Praise God. Well, let's look together in Psalms chapter 145. We're going to start in verse 8 this morning. The question is, how do you relate to the goodness of God? How do you relate to the goodness of God? We all know that God is good. We just got done singing a song about it. But how do you relate to his goodness? What is the relationship you have to the goodness of God? And if you're like, well, I don't know. Well, then that means it's not a potentially a good or strong and growing relationship with the goodness of God. And that's what we want to help you with. Does that make sense? No condemnation. How many of y'all know that if you don't know what you have available, if you don't know what God's word says, then you're going to miss out on something. Because God doesn't make anybody do anything. I'm not touching that. It's plugged in. Do you realize that if I don't know why something is made and how it's made and its intention, and if I don't know a few things, I could abuse that guitar? See, that guitar is a great guitar, but if I don't know why it was made and how it was made and what it was made for, I might try to hammer a nail in with it. And that's gonna make me frustrated and Isaac mad, right? Because if I'm trying to hammer, it's kind of like the butter knife versus the screwdriver when you're putting in a screw in the wall. You can use a butter knife. You can get the job done. Oh, we'll get it done. You can do it. But how many of y'all know if you just not be cheap and go buy a flathead screwdriver, it'd be a lot better? Because now you ain't upset your wife, you tore up the kitchen knife. Because let me see you take your butter or your screwdriver and go butter your toast with it. You're going to make a mess out of your toast. We've done it. It's a mess. We've tried this. We took a whole loaf of bread and I had them butter it with the screwdriver. It's a mess. Got it done. Everybody got toast and bread, but it's a mess. So let's look at God's goodness. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Do you hear that? Do you see that? Do you believe that? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. Now think about, do you realize how slow to anger he is? He's 6,000 plus years slow to anger. How are you doing? Some of us go 6 minutes, some 6 days. 6 hours, okay? Some of us can make it through 6 hours or 6 seconds of intense conversation. God is slow to anger and great in mercy. He's not just slow to anger, but he's great in mercy. How do you relate to this? How do you relate to Jehovah in this situation? Let's go to the next verse, verse 9. The Lord is good to those who are good to him. Oh, that's not what it says? The Lord is good to those who have repented. That's not what this says. The Lord is good to those who are early to church. No, that's not what that says. The Lord is good to all. The Lord is good to all, even those who come in late. I couldn't resist, but I love my brother. He's not on camera. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Are you or are you not the works of his hands? See, we like Ephesians 2 that says that he has prepared us for good works. But if we don't know that his mercy is over all his good works, then we could get tied up in some condemnation and some fear when we're just trying to simply obey God. Does that make sense? I want to know how you relate to this. How do you relate to God is good to all, not just those who are good? It rains on the just and the unjust. See, we got some rain last night down the street. But I looked at the cameras and this building didn't look like it got near as much. But my house, I can give them my address on TV. My address, it came down. I mean, the street was flooded. I almost got my airboat out. I don't own one, so that was easy. How do you relate to God's goodness? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We looked at, I alluded to it. Let's go here. Ephesians chapter 2. Don't worry, we're coming back to Psalm 145, so keep your finger in there, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy. How many of y'all think of God being rich in mercy? See, if I just end it, God is rich, you might get upset with me. He's really rich. Don't make me go there. He made Abraham richer than rich. All right, keep going, Paul. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. Who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. When did he love us? Before the foundations of the earth. He demonstrated his love for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners. So you know why this is hard? Okay, keep going. Just keep reading. Let's just keep reading. What verse was that? That was 4. Let's read 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. And raised up, verse 6, and raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. What is that next part? Toward us. Do we realize that God's goodness is for us? He's good for us. He's good to us. He's good in us. Okay. How do you relate to that? Do you connect to his goodness? See, if you thought I was a mean, grumpy, never know what kind of mood I'm in, how many of y'all want to come and talk to me? If you're not sure if I'm going to go, arr! When you ask me a question, you're not even going to want to come talk to me. You're going to go talk to Heather. Because everybody knows Heather's calmer and quieter than I am. Well, guess what? You just don't know me. No, seriously. That shocked some people. His seating enriches toward us in Christ Jesus. Go to the next verse, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not what you do. Nothing you did got you saved. You believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. That was your response. But the faith to get born again came from God. The grace to get born again came from God. Okay, we'll get there too. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. See, if you could have earned it, it's no longer a gift. If it was based on what you say or do, it's no longer a gift. Keep going. Verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Right there it is. Now look at verse 10. We like this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now here's where we start. Here's where people get off track. Okay? People, we get born again, we come out of the kingdom, and this only works if you've been born again. See, God's good to everybody, but until you're born again, the goodness isn't in you. Does that make sense? If you've never been born again, you must be born again. John 3, verse 3, and then John 3, 4, and 5, John 3, 16, 17, we'll get to that later. But you must be born again to enter and to see the kingdom of heaven. So once you're born again, you're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of his dear son. And Christ lives in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Christ lives in you. John 15 talks about that if you abide in him and he in you. Throw me that one. I know that's in our list. John 15:5, I believe it is. I know that was in it. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, look at that next line, bears much fruit. Do you realize that your spouse, your children, your neighbors, your coworkers, your enemies, your neighbors, did I say neighbors already? All of the people around you, do you know what they really, really, really need? The love of God. They need the grace of God. They need love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control. I must have missed one because I think there's supposed to be 9. So I missed 2. Long-suffering. What was the other one? I did not say. Maybe I said it and just didn't count it fast enough. Anyway, they're listed in Galatians chapter 5. You can see the fruit of the Spirit. See, you can't have fruit of the Spirit if Christ isn't in you. But if Christ is in you, the fruit's in there. But what makes the fruit grow? How does that grow? Right there it says that if you abide in me and I in you. This is why we're looking at what your relationship is with the, pardon me, with the goodness of God. If we can't relate to God's goodness, then love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, self-control, all those things that your neighbors and your loved ones, your family, those in the hospital, those that you're the homeless, those that you want to go and help. Yes, they need the physical, but what they need is Christ in you. And he comes out through love. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. It's easy to love someone who loves you. It's harder to love someone who doesn't like you. Listen to I'm not going back to last week's message. You can go back and listen because we talked about how you got to love those who spitefully use you. If someone spitefully uses you, you still get to love them. Now, does that mean they get to walk all over you? No, don't be stupid. But you're going to have to practice self-control. Well, self-control may be in you, but self-control is only going to bear much fruit as you abide in him. So what does our relationship look like? What does our abiding in the Lord look like? See, the reason we're looking at this goodness is because I want us to know how good God is so that we go to him, we allow him to speak into our lives, we enjoy our time with him. See, knowing God isn't about just showing up on Sunday morning, singing some songs together and going, hallelujah, we're all good, and the pastor made me feel good, or the pastor rebuked me because I was doing this. And that, and it was about time he got a hold of me. There are those out there. I know none of you guys, because you know I'm not going to do it. If I'm going to rebuke you, we're going to have a private conversation. I don't need you to rebuke me in public. Amen? So how do I get you to where you want to be in the presence of God, where you have a hunger for his word because you understand how good he is? Do you realize he's good to those who hate him? He is good to those who hate him. He's good to those who are rejecting him right now. Those who, the people that are rejecting God right now, they're not in this room. But those that are outside this room, they're rejecting God, and yet they're still breathing. Who's the author of life? God's not judging them. He judged Jesus. There will come a day that they will give an account if they continue to reject him. But right now, God is going, I love you. I love you. I'm right here. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live in fear. That's why he said, fear not. He said, fear not, knowing everybody would fear. And he said, fear not. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But if we're not willing to associate and communicate and connect to the goodness of God, we're not going to be able to be the goodness of God to those who need it. I can't love Heather like Christ loved the church if I'm not receiving the love of God on a continual basis, so that if someday she does something wrong, I will be able to go, oh, wait a minute. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. So I know God really loves Heather, even though she made this one mistake in her life. That didn't fly, did it? No, because we all know we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But how am I going to love her? Am I going to choose to forgive her? Am I going to choose to walk it out? Or am I just going to be angry? Am I going to pout? Am I going to withhold the relationship of God in me? Y'all catch that? If I withhold loving her, I'm withholding the goodness of God. Does that make sense? See, Christ lives in me, the hope of glory. If I abide in him and he in me, his word abides in me, I abide in him, I will be able to love Heather just as Christ loved the entire church of which we are. And how did he love us? Before we sinned. He knew we would sin. He knew we would reject him for X amount of years. See, Jesus knew 2,000 years ago that I would not receive the grace of God until I was 9 years old. And he knew that from 9 to 17, I wouldn't walk with him. That I would still live a stupid life and sow lots of dumb seed and do lots of dumb things. And yet he died for me. So if he died for me, that means he died for you. He died for you. And he knew you were going to do the dumb things you did. And he knew you were going to do the dumb things you'll do tomorrow. Does that make sense? But look back at Psalms 145. He is good to all. Let's go to Psalm 145 for a minute. Look at verse 10. All your works, Psalms 145, 10, thank you. All your works shall praise you. Anybody a work of God? Did God make you praise him? No, you chose to. You came here and praised you. Some of you praised like Mike and I. See, you joined my bus, so. Some of you praise him more reserved. No, just reserved. Not everybody is a hand waver. I get it. But just, God's looking at the heart. All right, but look at what it says here. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. If you're a believer, did God make you bless him today? Did he make you praise him? No, you chose to. Why did you choose to? Because you know how good he is. And you're confident in that. You're receiving that goodness. See, if you go to a good movie, you go and tell somebody. If you go to a good meal, I had a salmon meal down in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago. And Phoenix was hotter than blazes. Man, that place was hot. Goodness gracious. I am glad I am not called to live in Phoenix. My goodness, it was hot. So we went to this little restaurant, and it was an expensive place. I probably on the norm would not even go into this place. It looked a little yuppie to me. And I'm not a yuppie. But I went in there, and they showed me the menu. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, all right, I like salmon, so I'm going to try the salmon. I don't even know what all's on this. But then the waiter, they said, oh, your meal will be right here. And another waiter came by and says, yeah, this meal is, they're running late on it, but it'll be right here. And they said two different meals. And I went, uh-uh. No. I know what I ordered. Well, they brought me what I did not order because somebody messed up. And they brought me some sushi raw salmon thing. And I'm like, ain't touching it. I'm like, that's not what I ordered. And he's like, you didn't order it? I'm like, no, sir. I would not order raw fish. I'm like, no. I've had it before. I'm not here to try that. I wanted this. And if I tell you what it is, if I could remember. But anyway, I ordered this thing. And so they're like, okay, no problem. And they started to take that away. And the rest of the table said, no, we'll eat it. I'm like, well, y'all eat it. I don't care. I ain't eating it. And I ain't paying for it because I didn't order it. So y'all deal with that. So anyway, they bring me my real plate. And I look at it. And there's these little green balls all over it. Now, how many of y'all know me? I immediately went, if those are peas, we're in trouble. Because it looked like peas. I'm like, oh, dear God, please don't be peas. Because I really want to eat this. And the salmon looked amazing. So I'm like, I cut the salmon, made sure I didn't touch no what I thought was peas, and I'm eating it. It was really, really good. Then I tried the green stuff. It was some kind of, that's it. That's what I said. So if you didn't hear me on the mic, that's what it is. Anyway, really good green. It's a noodle, right, basically? It was some kind of, I don't think that was what they told me that was. But either way, it was really good. It wasn't peas, and it was really good. Why am I telling you all this? Because I had a good meal. I enjoyed it. Therefore, I shared it with others. This is a whole generation of people. They're taking pictures of it and posting it, and I'm eating this, and I'm eating this. What about this? All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. How are you going to bless him? What is it that you're doing that's going to bless him? What is it that you're not doing? Verse 11. They shall make the glory of your kingdom. They shall speak of your glory and of your kingdom. This is Old Testament. This is David writing. How many of y'all understand David knew God and David knew the goodness of God because even though he was under the old covenant, according to the old covenant, there was no sacrifice for his adultery or his murder. And yet he knew the goodness of God. He knew the grace of God. He put his faith that the Messiah was coming. He knew a Messiah would come. He had to figure out how to relate to the goodness of God. Because he writes this, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. That's our job. How do we do that? What does that look like? Do we share the goodness of God? Are we gentle? Are we kind? Are we peaceful? Are we respectful? Are our lives drawing people to the Lord? Or are people going, well, I don't want to be a part of that? If that's what Christianity is. See, I get it. Guess what? All who live godly will face persecution. The Holy Spirit reminded me, we sang that song. At the end of that song we sang, it talked about, and if in this world there be suffering, well, let me just help you with this. There will be persecution. Not because of God, but all who live godly. Well, what's another way? If you live good, God is good. And if you live good, people don't like that. Especially if they think you're gooder than them. No. Think about what I just said there. Oh, you think you're better than I am. How do you want me to answer that? If you don't know Jesus, guess what? I am. But I don't have to be. Christ loves you. He's good to you. I'm going to be good to you because Christ in me loves you, even though my head wants to smack you. Does that make sense? So what do? We follow Christ in us. But we won't follow if we don't begin to understand these things, if we don't begin to associate with his goodness, if we don't receive his goodness. Look at the next part. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. What did Jesus do when he showed up? The kingdom of God is here. He came, what's Acts 2:38 say? He came to seek and save those who were lost. He came to set those who were in captivity free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal the lame. Did he come to smack around? No, he came to love. He came to do good because Psalms 145:9 says, God is good to all. And he only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. Do y'all remember that Jesus never did a pre-healing interview? There's not one written in the Bible. No, nobody came up and wanted healing, and he got to go, well, wait, let's see. Did you read your Bible today? Did you go to Sunday school? Did you tithe? Did you go to synagogue? Did you go over there? Did you hear from the scribes? Did you hear from the Pharisees? He never did any of that. Because God is good to all. But we got to figure this out. We need a revelation of how God is good to all. Because when we realize God is good to the person you don't like, you'll be able to be good. But if you don't realize God wants to be good to them, God wants them to know his love, and they may be rejecting it, and we can't force people, we can't manipulate people to get born again. We can't manipulate people to do what's right. We can make them do what's right in our presence, but the moment we're gone, they're going to do what they're going to do. And if they know God and the goodness of God is living in them, they can choose to do good. Just like the rest of us. Again, nobody was made to stand up and praise. Nobody, but you had a choice. You have a choice to be good. You have a choice to let the goodness of God that lives in you flow through you and begin to affect others. That's why we're looking at how do you relate to the goodness of God? I'll pick on them again. You guys are going to, they actually moved up a couple rows, so maybe they like this. how do you relate to the goodness of God in me? See, if the goodness of God is coming out of me, it's easy to relate to. But if the goodness of God is not coming out of me, I'm harder to relate to. But you concur. But whose fault is that? Who gets to change? I can change and you can change. But if the goodness of God is in you and the goodness of God is in me, but I'm not following him, I'm doing my own thing, I have not learned. I have not learned that there are just some things that, what does Paul say? I can do all things, but not all things are profitable to me. Okay, I got to be real careful what I pick here because I don't want anybody to feel like I'm calling them out. God lives in our brother and God lives in me. And maybe I have some old habits. And those old habits stir up. Those old habits come knocking, trying to get me to follow. Let's pretend I used to have a man. I don't like dwelling on the past, but we've all had temptations. We all have shortcomings. Well, they come knocking. Well, if I follow the old temptation of just getting mad or slamming or running away from a problem. If I just follow my old man who's been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. But if I follow that old programming, if I haven't renewed my mind to that I don't have to do stupid, I could be doing stupid and he's going to struggle loving me if he too doesn't know that God loves me. But if he knows God loves me, he can be a little more patient. He can be a little more kind. He can go, hey, yo, brother, you all right? Can I pray with you? Because you look like you're about to go off the deep end there. And if he comes at it with love, I might be able to go, yeah, I'm stressing out. He goes, yeah, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary. Are you weary, Paul? Yes, I'm weary. Well, then let's just pray for a minute. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Let me give you some scripture. Do you see how this works? But if he doesn't relate to the goodness of God in him, I'm in bigger trouble. Because now you got two people who are following their flesh. And he's only following his flesh because I followed my flesh first. If Paul would have been nice to me, I wouldn't have had to yell at him. Does this make sense? But whose responsibility is? Whose challenges? It's each one of us. And when we begin to see the goodness of God in this area, we begin to see it. Look again at John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. We're connected. Christ lives in us. But he doesn't force us to bear fruit. But fruit have to begin to bear, and fruit should be natural. Supernatural, but natural. It shouldn't be, because it's not about willpower. You can willpower yourself to no end. That's just the work of the flesh. But when I get a revelation of the goodness of God, when I get a revelation that God loves the just and the unjust. I know that's hard because we're always seeing those who are doing wrong and aren't living up to it. And our whole culture. Okay. Look at verse 14. Back in Psalm 145, sorry. Psalm 145, verse 14. The Lord upholds, what is that word? All. Mark this. You were told to do it last week. You are encouraged to go through all of Psalm 145 and mark all the alls. Maybe even count them up and have a number ready in case somebody asks. There's a word of encouragement. The Lord upholds those who fall, no, all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. Do we know this God? Do you know this God? Do you know Jehovah God, who is good to all? The eyes all who look expectantly to him, he gives their food in due season. Do you realize people that don't like God, who claim to be atheists or whatever their latest thing is, God still loves them? And God's still letting their crops grow? God's still raining on the earth? God's still giving them breath to breathe? Because all goodness comes from God. When we begin to figure out, if God leaves, all the goodness leaves with him. How many of y'all know he ain't left? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As long as God is here, he's good. Now, there's coming a day of judgment. But we are in a day that we can choose to follow him, to walk in his grace, to receive his grace, to walk with him. And if we reject that, we don't know when the day is, but it's coming. That all those who have not chosen, then they will get to bow their knee. But their choice on earth will have forever consequences, just like our choice. That's why everlasting life isn't about the sweet by and by. Everlasting life, according to John 17:3, is about knowing God and his son. That's what everlasting life is. Everlasting life isn't something off far away 10 billion years from now. It's knowing God right now and forevermore. And forevermore. But it starts now. We don't wait. This is why we're explaining on Wednesdays. We're explaining about the kingdom of God. And we're trying to help people understand that the kingdom of God is here. And while it's not in its fullness, it's here. God is with us. And we're going to walk forever with him. All of his goodness, everything he has is available for us right now. Where was I before I got on track? Did we do 15? Yes, 16. You open, look at this. This is David speaking of God. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Is that too much grace? Aren't you glad that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you? See, when you get back down to that, then you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. God has been patient for 6,000 plus years. Open up a can there. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Not just one or two, all his ways. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. Do you see this? How do you relate to his goodness? How do you relate? Look at verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Now this, we begin to see a little bit of a difference. Not on him. God hasn't changed. But notice this. God is near to all who call upon him. See, he's here. We can be in a big room and have a whole lot of people, but you're only going to know the ones you're near. All right. To all who call upon him in truth. Next verse. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. This isn't being afraid of him. This is being in awe of him, understanding how awesome he really is. The children of Israel, when they first saw God after coming out of Egypt, and God says, all right, back up a little bit from the mountain. I'm about to come down and speak. And the thunder and the lightning and all, I mean, it was huge. And the people were in awe of him. They had a reality. I need to be still because this is bigger than me. And I don't even understand it. You'll understand that. Those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. God will hear their cry and save them. Verse 20. The Lord preserves all who love him. Now look at this. But all the wicked he will destroy. See, God still hates wickedness. God hates sin. God hates wickedness. He hates sin. The Bible says he hates divorce. He doesn't hate divorcees. He hates divorce. Why? Because divorce separates. Divorce breaks up families. It does damage to everything. So God hates it. It doesn't say he hates the people. Look at this. He will destroy, but all the wicked he will destroy. Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, he'll just, okay, you have chosen. And you have chosen this. All of Sodom and Gomorrah, they chose. For the first 1,500 years of life, as we can read it in Genesis, God did not withhold his love from them. He did not hold their sin against them, according to Romans 5:13. Where there is no law, sin is not imputed to them. But an entire group of people, an entire 1,500 years of people, only one found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said that every issue of their heart was wickedness. How did they get to that point? God didn't change. Man chose not to follow. Man chose not to love. Man chose to compare themselves one to another. Well, my sin's not as bad as his sin. Well, not that any of us do that. But how do we relate to God's grace? How do we relate to his goodness? How will we relate to who he is? Go with me to, and I'll try to, okay, I got three landings. So I'm just warning you. I said I was going to land, but I got three. So yeah, this is going to be a, I'm going to, what is that? Skip the rocks? There you go. All right. So my first landing, or my first closing. All right. First, 2 Peter chapter 4, and I'll try to move quickly. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. That's what I'm trying to say. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those whom have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Is he talking to you? If you don't realize he's talking to you, let me help you. He's talking to you. If you've been born again, he's talking to you. Look at this. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. He wouldn't say grace and peace be multiplied if there wasn't more to come. Okay, another time, another sermon. I got it. Make a note. I'd say it to my watch, but it'd probably do something. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now look at this, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us, what is that word? All things that pertain to life and godliness. See, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But look at this. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. If you don't know the goodness of God, you won't walk in the goodness of God. You won't be the goodness of God. You won't walk in it, and therefore it won't flow. It could be in you and just not moving. Because God's not going to make you do it. But it's available. His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't have to do stupid. I don't have to break the law. I don't have to curse. I don't have to drink. I don't have to smoke. I don't have to fornicate. I don't have to just name out a sin. I don't have to. They'll all be available, but I don't have to do them. But notice it says, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. See, if we don't know him, that goes back to John 15. We won't follow him. Comes up to, did I read all that? Verse 4. By which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That just said everything I just said a second ago. That I don't have to do it. Because I can get a hold of the divine nature of God who lives in me. The goodness of God. The grace of God. And if I'll follow the goodness and the grace, then I won't do that list. I'm not having a senior moment. I'm just casting down all kinds of stuff that... we're going to get me off track. Divine nature of God, his love, his peace. Very familiar passage. I'll read it. This is second landing. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. They would have the opportunity to know God. They would have the ability to know God and his son, Jesus Christ. But look at the next verse. Nobody ever quotes the next verse. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come down to go, hey, turkey heads. Hey, you. Hey, no. He came down and says, you need healing? You're healed. You need this? Here it is. You need this? Here it is. You need this? He came because he loved us. We just said it right there. He came because he loved us. He came while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. You can read on. I'm gonna go faster. So you read all the way through John 3, verse through 21. Jump over and I'll close right here. John 10, 27. Here's the key. And I'm awed at how many people don't even know this passage is in God's word. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you missed everything else I've said, if you will get a revelation of hearing God, we can do anything God calls us to do. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. You can't obey the call of God on your life. You can't do what God's called you to do if you can't hear him. And if you can't hear him, Romans 2, 4 asks the question, do you despise the goodness of God? Do you despise the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? I learned this last week. When the goodness of God is on the table, and we begin to see that goodness, and we begin to receive that goodness, what is Romans, and I didn't give it to her, but she got it anyway, look at that. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing, and this is what happens, people don't know, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. The goodness of God leads me to repentance. Now, the goodness of God in you can lead me to repentance. And when I get to that place of repentance, will I turn and follow that goodness? Or will I reject the goodness of God? See, it's his goodness. It says, do you despise the riches of his goodness? Go back to the other one, please. Forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us. See, it's his goodness that leads us, and his goodness in me will lead you. But if I'm not walking in the goodness of God, it ain't gonna help you find repentance. Why do you want to know a God that you don't? Why do you want to know a God if he's always angry or you're not sure if he's, what's that word, schizophrenic? Is that the word we used the other day? Bipolar. If God's bipolar, nobody wants to know him. But when we understand, no, God is good to all. God is good to all. And how will we relate to that goodness? Amen? Did you learn anything? Let's stand. I want to pray with you. I want to bless you. I want you to know the goodness of God. Go back over this. Go back over Psalm 145. Connect it with 2 Peter 1:4. Connect it with John 15:5. Connect it with John 3:16 through 21. Go back over these passages. Let the Holy Spirit who lives in you teach you. Let him guide you. Let him open your eyes. Receive the revelation. Because I can know it all day long, and it's going to change me, and it's going to change a few of those around me. But I'm not with most of you during the week and the people you're around. And those are the ones that need the goodness of God as well, and it's got to flow through you. So my revelation is only going to help you, but your revelation will help me and them. Does that make sense? Father, we love you. We praise you. I thank you. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love. And I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for opening our eyes. Help us to see how good you really are. How much you love us. And help us to embrace the goodness of God. Father, David even wrote that I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So, Father, we want to see the goodness of God right here in the great city of Wilcox. We want to see the goodness of God in the state of Arizona. We want to see the goodness of God in the United States. And we want to see the goodness of God all over the world. Your word says, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like water covers the seas. Father, that's in us. Your goodness is in us. Stir within us a hunger to abide in you and to let your goodness flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Love somebody, encourage.